on our last broadcast, we talked about since you've been saved, because many Christians are confused about what they are to do after salvation. But we have learned that Christians are not to seek and set their affections on things on earth, but to set our affection on things in heaven. But there's much more to learn. So open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in beautiful Irving, Texas. The pastor is the dynamic Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages
from the book of Colossians.
Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving takes a look in the book.
You are the living word.
Genesis chapter 13, the first book of the Bible. If you're having trouble finding it, it's the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 13, beginning with verse number 5. The Bible says, now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possession was so great that they were not able to remain together. Look at that. Look at that. They had so much they couldn't stay together. That's preaching material.
Yes, it is.
Why is America the most prosperous nation in the world, but we leading the world in divorce? A lot of folks staying in huts, and we got nice big houses, but we can't even stay together. Could it be because we got our mind set on stuff?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Look, look, look. The Bible says in verse 7, and there were strife, fussing and cussing between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now, the Canaanites and Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Isn't that something? We got the Christians falling out, cussing and fussing while the world is watching. The Canaanites was there checking them out. Saying, I know they can't be a Christian talking like that. And look, they're fighting over all that stuff. They see us over here ain't got nothing. They're fighting over all that stuff. Do you know why we ain't got time to save folks and do the work of God today? Because we fighting over stuff. The devil got us fighting over stuff. Oh, I know this preaching this morning. Verse 8. Then Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, not between my husband and your husband, for we brothers, we Christians. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I'll go to the right. If to the right, then I'll go to the left. So Abraham, he said, Lot, let's not fuss and fight. Let's just go ahead and separate. Since we can't stay together, let's just separate in peace. He said, if you go that way, I'll go this way. Or if you want to go that way, I'll go the opposite way. It don't matter to me. Now, Abraham is really showing that he's a Christian. Because in all actuality, Abraham, by him being the oldest, he should have first choice. Respect your elders. Oh, that's still in the Bible, honor your father and your mother. Amen. And look what the Bible says. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valleys of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord that swore Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoan. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent. Listen, church. He moved his tent as far as Sodom. Then the men of Sodom was wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, and I'll give it to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through it, length and breadth, for I'm going to give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oak of Moriah, which is in Haran. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Look at here. We have two Christians here. One, Lot, he saw all of the beautiful land. All the rolling hills, the green pastures. He saw all the nice, beautiful rivers. He said, ooh, ooh, that's what I want. That's what I want. That land that was towards Sodom. And the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes towards Sodom. And then the Bible said he started putting his tent, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Oh, in other words, Lot said, man, you know, Sodom is a picture of the world. So Lot is looking to the world to find some satisfaction. He's looking to the world to provide some happiness. He's looking to the world for his pleasure. But Lot didn't know the very thing that he had chosen, the very thing that he thought was good, God had looked at as being bad. The very stuff that he wanted, God had already put a condemned sign over there. God had already brought judgment. I was getting ready to bring judgment over something that he really, really wanted. Church, do you know when you got your eyes on the things of this world, you're putting your eyes on things that God is going to judge. You don't hear me this morning. I don't care how pretty it is. God is going to bring judgment on this world one day. But look at Abraham. You see, a person who was opposite of Lot. The Bible says after Lot done moved on, and sometimes in order for God to bless you, those worldly people got to move on. They got to move on out your life. God ain't going to bless you when you got a whole bunch of worldly folks in your life. Because that's a shame when y'all are cussing and fussing. And God, if you can't handle a little stuff, God say, ain't going to bless you with no more stuff. If this little stuff is bringing argument, ain't no sense in me really bringing a whole lot of stuff into your life. So he told Abraham, look up, Abraham. Look up to the north. Look to the south. Look up to the east and to the west. He said, now, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so much that can you count the dust? He said, if you can count the dust, that's how many blessings you're going to have. Let me tell you something. In other words, no eyes have ever seen your blessing. No ears done seen or done heard the things that God got in store for you. It looked like, from a human perspective, that Abraham had got the short end of the stick. But God can take nothing and make something out of it. So you just keep looking up. You set your mind on heavenly things. But not only set your mind on heavenly things and seek heavenly things, there's another third thing. You need to thank God for your heavenly situation. That's the third thing. You need to thank him for your heavenly situation. Turn back over here to Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Look at what he says. For, somebody say for. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then, somebody ought to say then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, why do I need to set my mind on things above? Why do I need to seek heavenly things. It's because of your heavenly situation. Oh, and that's a good situation. The reason you need to seek after heavenly thing and set your mind on heavenly thing is because of your heavenly, not your earthly, your heavenly situation. How many of you see y'all ain't in this? Y'all ain't seeing it. How many of you want to go to heaven? I say, how many of you want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Now, if you know Jesus, you already there. So you already there. Listen. What done happened to Jesus in a physical sense has already happened to you in a spiritual sense. Oh, I can prove it right out of my Bible. Let me show you in your Bible. It says, for you are dead. Now look, are you dead? Oh, you kind of pause on now, ain't you? You know you ain't dead physically, but he said you dead. So that means you must have died spiritually. He said, not only is you dead, he said, but your life is hidden with Christ in God. Listen. In other words, the real you, you ain't seen the real you yet. Listen, I got something under this. You don't know what it is. You may think you know what it is, but you don't know what it is. You know why you don't know what it is? Because it's here. I got it wrapped up. I got it tangled all up. And you can't see. It's hidden. Your real life is hidden. You're going around talking about my life. I'm trying to get my life. You ain't even seen it. The Bible says your life is hidden with Christ in God. It says, you know when you're going to really see your life? It says, when Christ, who is our life, listen, Christ is your life. These cars here, most of us, from before we got saved, we got in the cars. And the cars was our life. We would go to the car wash and, you know, working at the car wash, good. You know, we would go to the car wash and wash that car, you know, every day. We would be washing that car because we was into the car. Oh, we weren't into the car. We was into fashion. So we worked 5 days, and on Saturday, we'd go to the mall because we were into clothes. Oh, we are into party life Friday and Saturday night. But once you get saved, then you ought to be into Christ. You ought to be in Jesus, because that's what the text says. The text says, and when Christ, who of our life is revealed, then, somebody ought to say then. Then you will be revealed with him in glory. Then you're going to be revealed. See, right now, your life is wrapped up, tangled all up, tied up in Jesus. You know, they used to have a song, Sister Piper. You know, I'm wrapped up, tangled all up in Jesus, and I don't want to get a loose. So go and tell my father, I don't want to get a loose. Go and tell my father now, I don't want to get a loose. Go and tell my father, I don't want to get a loose, because I'm wrapped up, tangled all up in Jesus, and I don't want to get a loose. So you ain't even seen your life, because it's wrapped up, tangled up in Jesus. But when Jesus Christ appears, Then the Bible says you will be revealed with him in glory. See, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, you died spiritually. When Jesus was buried in that grave there in Jerusalem, you was buried spiritually. When Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday morning, you arose from the grave spiritually. And one day when Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to come back spiritually to pick up your dead body here on this earth. Then you're going to be revealed with him in glory. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are in a good situation because the world is trying to get to where you already at. You are in a good situation. See, we look at material things. And we look at the material thing, and we use the material thing as a yardstick to determine whether or not we are in a good situation or in a bad situation. See, if I got a lot of material things, then I'm in a good situation. But if I don't have a lot of material things, I start thinking that I'm in a bad situation. And as a result, I quit looking at heavenly things and I start looking at earthly things and start convincing my own self that I'm in a bad situation. And I start trying to keep up with the Joneses. I start trying to get me some cars like everybody else, houses like everybody else, land like everybody else, money like everybody else. I start trying to be like everybody else, and I try to change a bad situation into a good situation. But the Bible says you're already in a good situation. Let me tell you something. See, material things is not the yardstick. Then what is the yardstick? Jesus Christ is the yardstick to determine whether or not a person is in a good or bad situation. See, if a person knows Jesus in the pardon of their sin, they are in a good situation. But I don't care how much money you got if you don't know Jesus. You're in a bad situation. I don't care how many cars you got. If you don't know Jesus, you're in a bad situation. I don't care how many stocks, bonds, mutual funds you got. If you don't know Jesus, man, you're in a bad situation. See, you can be the poorest person in the world, but if you know Jesus, man, I'm here to tell you today, you're in a good situation. So what we need to stop doing is trying to be like the world and start trying to be like Jesus. Because we're in a good situation, church. But as long as the devil can fool you and make you think that what Bill Gates got, of what Howard Hughes got, of what some of these other rich and famous people got, that's the better situation. He got us. He got us. We got to see from a heavenly viewpoint. As I come to a close, I was thinking about one day, this lit nest on the top of the hill that was an eagle nest. And this little eagle egg rolled out of this nest and rolled down the mountain. Came all the way down the mountain and it landed there in the chicken yard. A few days later, that little eagle egg hatched. And that eaglet came out. That little eaglet was surrounded by chickens. So this little eagle started emulating the chicken. He starts seeing what the chickens eat, and he started eating what they eat. Then he started drinking. He didn't really like muddy water, but he started drinking some muddy water because he was there with the chicken. He started even trying to walk like chickens walk and started trying to quack and talk like chickens talk. He started trying to do everything that the chickens would do. And anytime he thought about flying, the hen that adopted him said, no, you can't do that because you're a chicken. And so he would wake up in the morning when the chickens would wake up and he would scratch around. Like the chickens would scratch around. And every day he would try to cluck like the chickens would be clucking. Every day he would try to be like the chicken. Till one day as he was down there scratching, he looked up and he happened to see an eagle passing by. When he saw that eagle passing by, something in him resonated and connected and said, "Oh, I wish I could do what he's doing." And the eagle saw the little eagle down below, and so the eagle swooped on down below, and he looked at the little eaglet and walked up to him and introduced himself and said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" Well, if I can put it in modern vernacular, he said, "What's up, dog?" And he said, "You got it." He said, "What you doing down here with all these chickens?" He said, "Because that's what I am. I'm a chicken." He said, "Who told you you was a chicken?" He said, "That's what all the chickens say. Everybody here say I'm a chicken. They say I'm a strange looking chicken. But everybody been telling me that I'm a chicken." He said, "You think you're a chicken?" He said, "Well, I know I'm a chicken." He said, "What make you think that you know that you're a chicken?" He said, "Well, I get up when the chickens get up. I try to cackle like the chickens. I drink what the chickens drink. I eat what the chickens eat. I go to bed when the chickens go to bed. I mean, my whole life is centered around chickens. And so I'm just trying to be the best chicken that I can be." He said, "Listen, man, you ain't no chicken. I don't care if you are eating what they eat and drinking what they drink and going where they're going and doing what they're doing and walking like they walk and talking like they talk. I'm here to tell you today, you're not no chicken, but you are an eagle." He said, "An eagle?" He said, "Yes, you are an eagle." He said, "I'm going to prove it to you." He says, "Scratch out your wings." He says, "Start flapping your wings. Exercise your wings." He said, "You like that?" "Oh, man, I like this." He says, "Exercise your neck." He started exercising his neck. He said, "You like that?" "Oh, man, this is good. This is good." He says, "Exercise your legs. Pick them up and down like eagles do." He started picking up his legs like eagles do. He said, "Now I want you to start running like an eagle run." And he took off and started running like an eagle run. He ran this way and ran that way. He said, "Now I want you to jump like an eagle jump." And he jumped like the eagle jump. And then he started flying like the eagles fly. And he began to fly higher and flew higher and higher until he said, "Now I want you to start soaring like the eagles soar. Soar higher and higher." And he began to soar higher and higher. And he soared all the way up, and then he soared down near the chicken house. Down at the chicken house, he saw one of his friends, the little chicken friend, say, "Hey, man, are you coming back to be with us?" He says, "No way, Jose." He says, "How come you're not coming back to be with us?" He says, "Because I'm an eagle. I'm no longer a chicken." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we was first born, we was born in a world among a whole bunch of chickens. We was born in a world where folks, they act like a chicken. They talk like a chicken. They scratch and begin to claw like chicken. They try to scrape out living like a chicken. But God has sent me here today to stop by to tell you that you're not a chicken, but you are an eagle in the Lord. And God wants you to soar above sin. He wants you to come out of the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He wants you to soar above your addiction, soar above your alcoholism, soar above your drug habit, soar above your lust habit. He wants you to soar above your sin.
The carpenter.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.